I think fear is like one of the biggest things that drives people. So fear of money or fear of lack of money, fear of overspending, fear of getting, you know, screwed over. And so there has to be a trust. And I think that if you as an agent can really, first off, you have to know what you're doing. But after that, which is, it should already be a given, getting the other person across from you to trust you, to know that you really have their back. And the only way you're going to do that is to have honest, open conversations back and forth and finding out what their true fear is.
Welcome to Waypoint Real Talk, where we discuss real estate and your home. Let's get started with your hosts, Aaron Shishilla and Austin Hines.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Waypoint Real Talk. Today, we have another awesome podcast and another awesome guest. My name is Aaron, and today we have Jen DeVita with Future Home Realty. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
Yeah, it's super exciting. So I know we had an awesome conversation before we started actually recording, and we had to quickly get this set up to capture those moments in that conversation, right? But give us like a two-minute, like an overview of who you are, why you're here.
So my name is Jen DeVita. I am a realtor with Future Home Realty. I've been with them since 2005, so with the same company this entire time. Love Future Home, love my broker, Bob. And really, I got my license in 2005. There was a short bit after that. I was actually working as a mortgage broker for a company located in Palm Harbor, Florida. And I really took off, or I would say like full-time real estate in 2007. I would do open houses for agents that didn't want to sit in open houses for bank foreclosures, and I would do that out by the water. And it snowballed into a really amazing, it started my career, just sitting out there when nobody else wanted to. And really, I've been doing this for so long. It is my full-time career, and I have mortgage background and title background and sinkhole remediation background and a whole bunch of different designations that kind of just stick in my tool belt, and I use them for my clients and for myself every single day.
So you were getting started then. Was it like at the peak of everything when everything was going on and blowing up and you were getting started then, or was it you were coming in when it was crashing down?
Yeah, so I used to tell my mom, so I got my license at the end of 2005. I was approached by someone that knew me prior in business and asked me if I wanted to work at their mortgage company, and I got my mortgage broker's license. So I had the two licenses, and I was working physically at the mortgage broker, and so it was hard. It was hard. You had veteran agents that were, they didn't really care to spend the time with you to help you. They were just trying to, you know, take advantage of what they had going on. And then as the market started to crash, you know, thousands of agents were just fleeing the scene, not renewing their license. It was mm-hmm. crazy. And so I would say to my mom, like, I came to this really huge party, like it was going off, and I open up the doors and there is nobody there.
The cops showed up.
No, the cops already came and left. Like, it was just champagne glasses knocked over and like dead balloons and nobody. And so it was scary and it was hard, but it taught me how to really become one of the best realtors out here and not an order taker for just writing up a contract and submitting, but really getting into the trenches and knowing in and out your contract, in and out our inspection periods, what that looks like, appraisal, learning title in a way that's just not putting all the responsibility on the title company, but understanding that. So it kind of was a blessing in disguise because nothing was handed to me and I had to work for everything. And so it just made me a really good agent.
You know, it's really interesting how that works is like, you think your path is like one specific way, but it always turns out to be like you go down this side thing and that turns out to be where you're destined to be or where you're supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. So coming back or like we are having a great conversation about what took you into real estate in the first place. So can you start there? You were in college or you were graduating college, right? And you actually started working with a sinkhole company.
Yep. So I graduated college from USF, Go Bulls in St. Pete campus. And so I had been on the 10-year program, so I didn't just go to high school, college, and graduate. It was like this long rabbit hole of different adventures as I slowly graduated. But when I did, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had a bachelor's in psychology. I had an amazing, nutty professor, I like to call her, giving us the red flags or the warning signs on really pay attention to what's going on in insurance in the world for psychological help. And I'm glad that I kind of perceived what she was saying, which was it's not as easy as you think. Like, you're not just going to be able to help people and do what you think you need to do. There's going to be restrictions on that. And it felt constricted around what I was wanting to do in my heart. So I didn't continue to do the master's degree, which is really what you would need to kind of go in that field. I didn't know what to do. So my mom found me this great job. It was Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. So it was great. I had my weekends off, never had that as a server or bartender. And, I started working there. I learned sinkhole remediation. I was an operations assistant, and also the gentleman, he was an investor. So he was flipping houses all the time. And so I became his right-hand person for, you know, hard money lending and the closings. Everything was like the sinkhole, but also the investments. And so, and then I wanted to buy a home for myself because, you know, back then they were giving out loans to anyone that had a pulse and it didn't matter what you made. So I thought I was going to become an investor and buy a home and rent it out. Until I realized I should have had you as my home inspector because there was no central heating and air. My mom didn't think that was a good idea. I'm glad I listened to her. I know I joked with you, but I said that my real estate agent was the older lady from Beetlejuice, and she literally was. So she was like 5'1", you know, maybe like 75 years old, smoked a pack of cigarettes a day, had this like this beehive that like went all the way up. And she was just like ready to do the contract on a home that had no central heating and air. And I was, you know, younger back in 2006, I think this was. No, sorry, 2004, 2005, and she like whips out a contract to sign it on the back of her trunk on her 1987 Camaro, and I was like, I don't know. And I would call some agents, and it just didn't seem like the agents wanted to work. That they were treating real estate as like this, like just, you know, show up in flip flops. It's like whatever. And I just thought to myself, like, I think I could do this, and I could probably do a better job. And it's funny that that came at that point, because a couple years before, I had wanted to get into real estate, just hearing about a relative in New York, like in Scarsdale, that was so successful doing real estate up there. And so I did want to do it. I asked my grandmother to borrow a couple $100s, and she, you know, we just didn't have it. And so, like you said, it's funny, like one door wasn't open at that time for real estate. So then another door opened through sinkhole remediation, and then I was able to come the back door again with real estate, then popped me into another door for mortgages. And so, yeah, it's been an amazing wild ride, and I wouldn't trade the education of it for anything.
So biggest question I have is, did you ever purchase that home and get central AC?
I did not. And let me tell you what a panic attack that feeling is. And central heating and air is important. And we do know that you can install central heating and air, you know, some of the older places in St. Petersburg, right? Like, but it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, right, we're dealing with things in the roof or the structure of the home that won't allow that. So I'm so glad that I didn't. And I know that now.
So coming into your career now, right, we're talking about the emotional side of real estate and how you were hinting at me as something else that you want to look at, which is like real estate being like 90% about mental, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you take what you learned and apply that to your career now with your clients? And talk a little bit about the emotional side of real estate. And I know we went through an article that you had published about your meditation and everything else. So I'd love to dive into that.
Yeah. So, okay, a couple of things. So that was in the St. Pete Life magazine. And actually it was done during the pandemic. And it was a two-page article on me, and she's the owner of the company, said, well, what do you want to talk about? And, you know, we can talk about real estate. We can talk about how to stage your home. We can talk about things to do before selling, when buying, things like that. But due to the nature of the temperature of what was going on in our country and the world, I just felt like this was a prime opportunity to tell everybody what I love to do. One of those things is meditation. It's hand in hand for me with the mindset, the positive mindset, and really grooming the internal functioning of your mind and your body so that you're operating out in the world in an energetic, different manner, right? So you're running the ship emotionally versus the emotions running your ship. And thus, you know, that's gonna take the lead for your clients. And so we did the Zen Real Estate article, and I was so happy. I actually did get some phone calls from it. I actually had a company, I'm so sorry that I'm forgetting their name. It was in St. Pete, and they sent me some essential oils. And I thought that was so beautiful because I'm like, this is the stuff that I like do all the time at home by myself. I have essential oils in my office. My broker came in yesterday and I had my diffuser running. And he's like, all right, Jen, you got your thing going on here, right? I was like, yeah, Bob. You know, it's cool to play around and be light and to have that going on in such a serious like industry when we're dealing with people's lives and like their finances. So it's good to have both. But so for me, the mindset is so important. So taking care of me first so I can take care of my clients. And I think even before I really dove into yoga and meditation, which was 2011, my very first listing was in Palm Harbor in 2006, downtown Palm Harbor, one of the state streets, Pennsylvania, I think. And it was a divorcing couple, and it was a referral from a divorce attorney. And he had bipolar, and sometimes he would take his medicine and sometimes he wouldn't. He also, part of the decree allowed him to come back to the home every other weekend because they shared a child. And so we listed and ready to show. And so when I was showing one of the first times, he must have smoked like a pack of cigarettes in the house on purpose. He knows he's not supposed to smoke. And so when he opened the door, it was like poof. It was like smoke like hitting us. And like in that moment, you know, it's like, you know, how do you handle it? And so you just handle it with grace and ease. And so I was like, hi. I was like, how are you? And I was like, all right, well, come on in, guys, you know. And inside, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm like, oh man, what is this gonna look like, you know, all of this. And a little bit scared too. I mean, he had a big personality, and you know, so anyway, we went under contract. But throughout the process, he apparently took my sign out of the yard. And then when the wife, you know, confronted him on that, I had no idea, but she said, you know, you need to put the agent's for sale sign back in the yard. And then he called me like randomly on a Sunday, telling me that he was going to call the DBPR and FREC, which is the Florida Real Estate Commission, and have my license revoked, that I was talking slander about him. And I didn't even know what he was talking about because I was eating chicken wings on the water. Like, I had no idea. But again, it was just just having that awareness. I think maybe I've always had that awareness that when people are acting out, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with what's going on there. And I'm literally supposed to just, what I know now from yoga and meditation, the words we say, like, hold the space. Mm-hmm. Hold the space no matter what. And it can be difficult, you know. And so that mentality, that mindset has really done my career very well. And that divorced couple, you know, taking them through that, there was a sense of accomplishment because it was a really hard thing for both mm-hmm. of them. And so, you know, I've been at the table with a husband and wife that unfortunately are going through divorce, and I have been hired for the work that I do, but also I think how I am able to make them feel that they are going to be taken care of individually and collectively, that there isn't sides in this. And I think that, you know, having that mindfulness has also groom me to be mindful, to help them in that way. And it's not creating judgment. It's not forming biases or siding or teams. It's really, again, holding that space and keeping myself, you know, as balanced as I can so I can have as much balance as I can for them.
Right. I can imagine just the amount of emotions, even if it's not even a like a divorced couple, right? It could be somebody that's single. It could be a marriage couple, like their first home. The amount of emotions that go into that process, just because it's a huge investment, it's a huge commitment to have as well, that there's so many emotions going on that you really have to learn how to deal with your emotions to be able to go through that process, right?
Yeah. And I think being the oldest of four and just being like a big sister type of person all my life as well, I have that natural personality. And, you know, coming from the bachelor's in psychology, you know, waiting tables and bartending for such a long time, dealing with people day in and day out, right, all different types of personalities. They get a couple cocktails and then now they're a whole different person. So, you know, just learning how to deal with personalities,
right,
and not to be right in the situation, just to find out what can I do to help in the situation. And you know, I think bartending and serving probably was one of the greatest playing fields to helping people, because you know, you order a steak and you're just upset, like, you know, it's your Friday night, you worked all week and the thing comes out well done, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, what do we need to do here, mm-hmm, to help this situation? And you just figure out what the need is. You just like get to them, you know, help them, you know, genuinely figure out what they need and just get it.
What's your biggest piece of advice, or what do you see most of the time with people's emotions going through this process? What would you have to say to like home buyers, new home buyers, or even divorced couples that are maybe thinking about, you know, selling?
I think fear is like one of the biggest things that drives people. So fear of money, or fear of lack of money, fear of overspending, fear of getting, you know, screwed over. And so there has to be a trust. And I think that if you as an agent can really, first off, you have to know what you're doing. But after that, which is, it should already be a given, getting the other person across from you to trust you, to know that you really have their back. And the only way you're going to do that is to have honest, open conversations back and forth and finding out what their true fear is. And so sometimes it seems like it's money, but it's not. And so by really getting to the root of where their concern is, you can help. So that's asking them questions. So for example, I say, you know, maybe they're fearful that they're going to spend too much, or you think it's fear around money, mm-hmm, selling their home. They may, whatever that is, but really the fear is maybe taking off work early, or is their work schedule going to allow them to do things like go see the houses, come to the home inspections, get off for the day of closing. So I have found that most of the time the fear level up here, which, you know, well, I don't know if I could do that, or I think this, or I think that, there is something below that that actually was driving it more. And when you find that solution, it's like, oh, now they can actually have fun and be free to be part of the transaction. A common one that we had with COVID and how the rise of the values went up and sellers want to take advantage of that, but where do they go?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a big fear there. And some of the fear is, well, I don't want to move twice. Or where am I going to go? And so by getting to that, we're able to make this whole transaction better. So an example was we had a couple that were building up north, and it wouldn't be ready till X, but they really wanted to take advantage of the market now to, you know, to capture that return. And so at first, the wife was a little hesitant, like husband was on board, wife was hesitant. And I didn't know at first, like what was driving that concern or fear. But just by talking through that listing presentation or listing consult, we got to it. And she didn't want to move twice. She didn't want to be homeless, mm-hmm, you know, but so we were able to negotiate a post-occupancy agreement. But if she didn't communicate, and I didn't care to communicate with her and get to know really where this was coming from, I might have just thought that she's not a willing participant, that maybe her husband and wife just don't have an agreement and that's on them. But it wasn't on them. So it was on me as their agent to figure out what was stressing her out, what was, mm-hmm, causing that fear or doubt. And I think I think as you, if you look at your clients more with that like softer, tender heart, which you kind of get from that mindfulness, it just blows up the transaction in a good way. Like it's like, oh, we're so honest and communicative and we're on the same page and she's got my back. Like she knows what my deal is and she's got my back. So I love that part about it.
Yeah, I will say now that you mentioned that, like you could put up, or as a home buyer, home seller, you could put up some sort of front that's like, well, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. And maybe you're a little bit more challenging about things, or you're kind of like a conflicting person, right? Or you're having conflict with a lot of different things, but really it's not what you're saying. There's some type of underlying root cause. Maybe it's you're afraid of commitment to that house. Maybe it's like you don't want to, you're embarrassed because of something with your family, right? Because of the area that you're moving to and your family wants you to move somewhere else or something like that. So I think, as you mentioned, the emotional side of real estate is way more important than people really put into it. Coming back here, I wanted to talk a little bit about specifically meditation, right? So I'm someone who's actually tried, and Austin, who's kind of listening to this podcast as well, I don't know if you have your opinions on it, but I've tried doing meditation, right? And I've done the whole like 10 minutes, 15 minutes or whatever. I just don't see like, I don't get it, right? So for those people that maybe they just don't get it, they're not into it, what would you say to those people since you're so about it? I would love to hear your insight. And yes, I think a lot of people could get a good use out of this, especially real estate agents who are having to deal with COVID situations and divorce situations and tons of conflict during these real estate transactions.
Okay, so the first thing I would ask you though first is, number one, why did you try the meditation? Like, why did you want to try it?
Everyone says you got to do it.
But it wasn't on your heart beforehand. It was just something that you heard, right? And number two, when you were doing it, was it silent? Was it guided? Were you listening to just music? Like, what was it?
I think I've tried both. Most of the time, though, I've just done silent.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you seem like you have a very relaxed personality and energy. Like, not that... You're very like a calm person to begin with, so that's wonderful. And maybe you just are zenned out inside and you don't even know it. But the main thing about meditation is to, there's a couple things, right? So we're calming the central nervous system. Once we're doing that, then we're able to kind of maybe soften chitter chatter, irrational thoughts, so that you can calm down even further to first gain some peace, physical peace, mental peace. And then your intuition is your greatest GPS. And so your gut intuition, which is a God-given gift, if you listen to it, it will take you on paths that are for your best. Right. But oftentimes what people are doing, especially when they're in fear or flight or fight or flight mode, that chitter chatter, that elated central nervous system, they're not thinking clearly. It's just what it comes down to. You're just not thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. And in order to make the best decisions, you have to think clearly. You have to feel safe. You have to feel calm. And then you can hear things that are actually more true for yourself, for your gut, versus the chitter chatter.
Right.
What is my family going to think? Can I afford this? What if I make the wrong decision? What am I going to eat tonight? So instead of all of that, just bringing it back to ground zero. Mm-hmm. Now, but if you have a calm demeanor where you're like your sense of your gut intuition is just kind of on point all the time, there are people like that. But there are guided meditations specific. So if you're looking to maybe gain a little self-confidence or overcome some jealousy or fear or anxiety, there are guided meditations that kind of, again, calming down the body. The mind is awake, right? So it's just kind of taken in a different perspective than the normal monkey train. And it just brings in balance. So for meditation, there's so afterwards I can give you some tips too.
Yeah.
But you should never really do it because someone told you to. But if you were having a problem or an issue and someone said, hey, I think meditation could help that, dig deeper.
Yeah.
You know, what do you mean by that? Because maybe that silent meditation isn't your style. Just like everyone has a learning style, that's not your style. Yours could be out in nature. Yours could be with guided meditation. But meditation does benefit everybody because everyone could dig in deeper into themselves, into their intuition, into their calm and peace.
Yeah, the way that you kind of describe it makes so much more sense is, as you mentioned, like some people may have a more calming personality, but others, and I know I've gotten there myself too, you have so many emotions, different emotions pulling you in all different directions to where you really need to have that space to, as you mentioned, get to your inner peace about it, to where you're listening to the root of it, right? Rather than all the emotions going on that's kind of making you fight or flight about the different situations.
Yeah.
Coming together here and kind of wrapping up, I mentioned, or we talked previously about, ultimately with any job that you kind of do, there's some type of why that you have it, right? And I have been really reflecting the past like 6 months about this specifically, and maybe it's because of COVID going on and everything else, but with any job that you do, whether it's like real estate or like what we do with home inspections, right? It's not like, you know, there's so much glamour in what we do, right?
What, being in a attic at 95 degrees with some
that's very glamorous,
with some rat feces on the end,
yeah,
and it's not,
that's,
it's
very
not glamorous.
Crawling through a crawl space, super glamorous. Going to the gas stations to get some water and food.
Ooh.
You know, because you're traveling all the time.
Wawa.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you about Wawa.
I love Wawa.
Wawa.
Should we get a plug with that?
I'm telling you, all the home inspectors, I know my family and my family's home inspection company, they all have a problem with Wawa.
Yeah.
They need to get some stock into Wawa or something.
We
but
should do it.
Yeah.
We can affiliate it right now.
Yeah. We got to look something up. Okay, so getting into the why of things, like I feel like at the end of the day, no matter like what you do with your work, whatever it is, you're building rockets, you're doing home inspections, you're working in real estate, you're waiting tables. At the end of the day, what you're trying to do is try to help society move it along, right? So you're helping another person. And I feel like in real estate especially, right, you know what you do as far as real estate and how to make a contract and how to negotiate through the process and what everyone needs to do. But at the end of the day, it's about building a trust and relationship with somebody else. So I don't know, just concluding on here, I really feel like the why of especially real estate would be handling people's emotions and being able to navigate through those and kind of making sure that other people are successful in their emotions, their lives moving forward. What would you have to say or comment on that and within your own experience?
I can only speak for my own why and why I have done it for, I think this is my 16th year straight with the same company, let me go back years ago. So when I was younger and I would have older people as my clients, there's a couple of scenarios. It's happened obviously more than once, but this is the setup. One of the spouses have passed away. The other spouse is going to go live with family or into an assisted living facility. And I'm in the house, you know, getting ready for the listing. And so being part of that, you know, I enjoy being the person that they call. You know, hey, can, you know, is there somewhere we can donate the furniture? What do you suggest? And letting them be with their family and do what they need to do while I am taking care of it. But I will say on this other side of it is I see myself here able to help them. And then I know one day I'm going to be on the other side of that. And I just feel like that's the cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do right by people. Help them in this stressful situation. You know, when you're younger and you're vibrant and you can do these things and you're, you know, that's great. But one day you may not be there. One day life is going to change and you're going to need that. And you just hope that that's that reciprocal energy and taking care of personality that you get. And so I feel like it's paying it forward to have it pay it forward and to be in this big bubble of life, you know, do unto others.
Yeah. I definitely would agree with you. And, you know, concluding there, I really appreciate your insight today that you've brought to this podcast. I think you shared a lot of important points. So that being said, where can people find you?
Well, first off, thank you so much for having me. You guys are amazing. And Waypoint Inspections, like, you're just going above and beyond here. I love the setup that you have here and what you're doing. You can find me very simply, my name, Jen DeVita. So it's Jen, J-E-N-N, DeVita.com. DeVita is spelled D-A-V-I-D-A.com. There you'll have my phone number, my email. You can find me on Facebook, Jen DeVita, Instagram, Jen DeVita. I'm out there. YouTube. All of it.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll leave Jen DeVita's information down below in the description if you're on YouTube. If you're on a podcasting platform, be sure to check out our website. We'll put some information there as well. But Jen, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone. Till next time.